the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday in Brevard County, and life is good. So, hey, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we would love to have you come and be a part of our services this weekend, Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30. Worship is at 10:30. Worship again is at 6:30 that night. And we would love to have you come and be a part of that. We want to say thank you to all of those who visited over the past few weeks. We are praying for those visitors that God will lead them and guide them to just the right place for them, that they would thrive in their relationship with God and be able to serve Him and fulfill the purposes that God created them for. We hope that some of those places will end up being Merit Assembly of God, but we want God's divine placement at God's perfect time to accomplish God's purposes. So today we want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. It's WEIRICH right here in Rockledge, Florida. If you need an electrician or a full-service air conditioning and heating company that can work on any type of unit anywhere in Brevard County, anytime, you know, they generally have people that are on call. They have regular work schedules, and then they have rotating on call personnel as well. But if you want somebody that is reliable and going to do a great job and they're going to treat you fair, call the folks at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. I was talking with a person in another state, a completely different part of the country, and we were talking about their air conditioning system, and I began to ask some questions, and I said, here's two things that I know. I know that there are two people that I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are stable business people, that they've got a good reputation, and preferably that they're going to be Christians and treat me fair. I want my auto mechanic to be a person of integrity, and I want my air conditioning and heating people to be people of integrity. You will find that with Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538. You can call them, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and they will get your problem solved and help you keep your cool no matter what the weather is like outside. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We may not read as much as we did on yesterday's program because we only got through about half of verse number 7 yesterday. And so I'm going to go back and read verses 6 through 9. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now I will tell you this, if you don't ever sow, you're never going to be able to reap. Sometime there has to be a decision and says, you know what, I am going to experience a new breakthrough dimension in my life. And so probably 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, there was a person in our church, and he was always producing these wonderful tomatoes, and he would share them with us and all that. And I said, can you teach me how you do this, how you end up having such wonderful wonderful tomatoes all the time. And he said, well, I can come over. And so he was going to show me how to do it. He was in his 70s at the time, and he ended up doing it. He said, now this is what you do. I still remember what he did. And the next year I tried it, I didn't get nearly as good results as he did. I got about half as good results. But that first year, boy, it was wonderful. Now, it could have been that I planted later than what I was supposed to, or not been able to take care of things as well as I did that first year. But, man, they were still amazing. But I will tell you this. If I'd never planted a single seed, I never would have got a harvest. Now, what Paul is addressing was in the Corinthians was that he had talked to them about the spiritual need as well as the financial need that believers in other parts of the world were experiencing as he was presenting the gospel. And they were looking at that opportunity as a way to invest in that new body of believers, to help them with their needs being met. And he says, everybody has got to decide in their own heart how they are going to give. In other words, I'm not here to tell you. The person on television cannot tell you. This is the seed that you have got to sow. There has to be intentionality in us that is going to prompt an action on our part. There's only one person on this planet that I can control the actions of, and that is me. I haven't been able to control the actions of my kids. You know, I set rules and things like that. But when they were growing up, they're all grown now. Some of them are married and now they're establishing rules in their household. And every once in a while they get together and they start talking about things and say, well, this is the rule that mom and dad had. And this is the way that we got around that rule. It wasn't a rule of eternal consequence or anything like that. It was just something we didn't want in our house. And so they had to decide for themselves. When they became 18, the dynamic with which I treated them. Now, at 17 years old, 364 days, I still treated them as if they were my minor child. There was a process in there, but my word was still my word. But when they turned 18, you know, they were all of a sudden they're no longer the same status with the state of Florida. And so my attitude towards them changed. It wasn't just dad, the disciplinarian. Dad is now, you know, still dad, but is also an adult talking to an adult. So, and I kind of get a kick out of watching sports, and they talk about all of these kids, and they're 24 and 25 and 26 years old. And I look back and I think, you know, when I was 24, 25, and 26, I wasn't thinking of myself as a kid. I already had a child by the time I was 27. And so I was like, I had responsibilities. I had responsibilities at 22. No one was going to take that up for me. And so at some point in time, we've got to decide, what do I feel like God wants me to do to produce a harvest? So at Merit Assembly of God, how is our church going to play a vital role in the harvest of souls in these last days? Well, we have a strategy. We have things that we do that are designed specifically to participate in harvest. So even though we may not be very many people gathering on Grove Street, the seed that we sow stretches around the globe. It touches every hemisphere. You know, I remember when I was growing up, the pastor would say, the sun never sets. Sun never sets on the ministry of the church that I grew up in. And I can honestly say that everywhere the sun is, the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached, and Merit Assembly of God is participating in that, because we made a decision in our heart to say yes to God's plan. Now he says, when you have created that purpose, and by the way, I heard something here a few weeks ago that said this: my purpose was greater than the pain. My purpose was greater than the pain. Have you ever had something that you were doing and everything inside of you was screaming quit, and you said, I can't quit because I haven't fulfilled the purpose yet? And I thought it was just a profound thought. I remember as I heard that, it's like, you know what? That's really, really good. We live in a society that is constantly trying to numb the pain, trying to dull the pain, trying to become as pain-free as we possibly can, not realizing that we have purpose. God's not just called us to be comfortable. He's called us to be purposely, intently involved in the harvest of souls. So Paul says, so when you have determined that purpose in your heart, what are you going to do? It says this: you can't sow bountifully or sparingly. You can't do it in a begrudging manner. I will tell you this: if you got up this morning and these words crossed your mind, I absolutely hate my job, that mindset, that attitude is going to demonstrate itself in your job performance, in your attitude with your coworkers. You won't have to tell people you hate your job. It will be involuntarily communicated that you hate your job. And here's something that I heard years ago, and I found that it tends to be pretty accurate, is this: that which you disrespect moves away from you. If you do not treat customers right, those customers will go someplace else. If you do not treat your family right, you are going to find that there are going to be walls of division, and you could be in the same room and be miles apart. And if you don't respect God, if you got the wrong attitude towards God, he's going to seem a million miles away from you. And so if when the opportunity to give comes and you say, oh, I really don't want to do this, I know I made the decision to do it, but I really don't want to do it, then you're not going to experience the bounty that you think, because it says you can't give that way. God's kingdom doesn't operate with that. I don't know. I can't explain how the dynamic of our motivation impacts the seed that we sow, but it does. God's not looking for people who are doing what they do because they have to. He's looking for a people who will do what they do, love what he wants them to love, give the way that he wants them to give, because they want to, because it's a privilege to be able to do that. What if our mindset was completely different than what the world says? The world says, oh, the church is all about money. You know what? I don't know many agencies that sow much into communities, do so much as far as outreach, help people in time of need to such an extent, not because people are making them do it, but because they want to do it. So whenever we hear of people who are devastated by storms, we partner with ministries that are there to make an immediate impact on people's lives, where the return on it, or where the amount of the donation is not pennies on the dollar that goes there, but it is like 95 to 100% of the dollar that we sow goes in to impacting those people's lives in an immediate manner. That's what goes on. So if we purpose in our heart, we've got to say, you know what? I don't want to do this in the wrong way. You can do the right thing with the wrong attitude and you will not experience the blessing that you want. You can do the wrong thing with the wrong attitude you can do everything wrong and you are going to get bad results. But you can even do an honorable thing, a noble thing, and do it from the wrong attitude, and God, who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, sees right through that and says, that's not going to work out so well for you. So remember, we're talking about how do we get away? How do we get victory over covetousness? Well, he says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, or God loves a liberal giver. And that doesn't mean a liberal in the sense of thought patterns. It means a person who says, you know what? When I came into the world, I had none of this. God's blessed me with this, and it has no attachment to me. If I give everything away, God will be able to still provide for me. I am persuaded. One of the speakers that we have that comes through from time to time talks about how his family had got radically and dynamically saved, and God helped bring them into a place where they ended up being very fruitful and productive in the industries that they were a part of. And as they got into their latter years, they were giving generously to the church that they were a part of. And so whenever the offering would come by and it was for a missionary, the dad would just pretty much empty his wallet. And so his wife started, you know, making him leave his wallet at home. And then he discovered the checkbook. And so he'd start writing the check. She started taking the checkbook, and he tells us in a really, really humorous way, and said, and then he discovered that there was a faith promise thing, that if he didn't have his wallet and he didn't have the checkbook, he could say, this is how much I'm going to give. And it got to the point that the son said, Dad, you know, you really ought to scale back. He had just fallen in love with the gift of giving. He was very generous with it. He loved it. There was a great deal of joy in it for him. And he said, Dad, I'm really, really concerned. And he was talking to him on the phone, and his dad's response went something like this. He said, listen, sonny, God and I have been doing it this way for several decades now. It has worked out very well. And if I want your input on changing what God has already proven to be very sufficient to take care of my needs, then I'll ask you for it. Goodbye. And he hung up the phone. He loved giving. What kind of harvest do you think that a person that said, you know what? I just love to demonstrate the tangible love of God to people who don't even know him. And sometimes that comes from a speaker. Sometimes it comes with being able to meet a felt need at the point of that felt need. You see, giving is not just about the budget. It is, God, what do you want us to do? How can we impact our community and around the globe for the harvest of souls? I pray that God will deliver our hearts from longing what other people have and transform those hearts to say, how can we be a blessing? Verse number 8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. One of the reasons that people hang on to things is because of their lack of faith that whether it's going to be there in the future. I've known people who had lived during the Depression era times or come from very impoverished circumstances, and God opened great doors. One of the ladies that was part of our church for a long, long time described how she found herself in a very difficult circumstance, and yet God opened a door for her and enabled her to be faithful to him financially, as well as provide the education that her kids needed and all of that. And she had at one point in time grown up in a home in a different part of the country with no running water, and at one point in time with no electricity. You say, oh, places like that don't exist. Don't tell me that. I grew up in a home that we had to haul water into a cistern because there was no city water that was running to us. How'd you get the water there? Well, we hooked up a tank to a truck and we drove it to a place where you didn't fill it up with gas, you filled it up with water, and then you hooked a hose up to it, and the water went from one place to another. You see, the Bible talks about that there were people where they were always having struggles with whether or not God was going to be able to take care of their future needs, so they were trying to miser them, be extremely frugal with them, be very tight with, we can't let this go because we don't know if there's anything coming tomorrow. And I want to tell you today that God can be trusted. He can not only be trusted with your sins, he can be trusted in your day-to-day living. If you had seen Merit Assembly of God in 1992, if you had fixated on the resources that they had at that point in time, you wouldn't believe that we could ever do what we're doing in 2020. But see, when you have discovered the adventure and the joy and the thrill of doing life with Jesus, you realize he's your provider. I remember having a face-to-face conversation with a business person, and he said, tell me about your church, and don't tell me about how small your God is. If you tell me how small your God is, I don't want to hear it. I want to hear about this great, big, wonderful Savior. I want to hear about this wonderful provider. And so that's what he wanted to hear, so that's what I told him about. And he said, here, let me get in on the ground floor with this. And he sewed some things that probably cost $50 or $60 on a commercial level, and he just sewed them into us because he wanted to be a part of it. God is good. He was provider in the Old Testament. He's going to be the provider for all of eternity, and most assuredly, he can be your provider and my provider today, not only providing food and water and clothing, a place for us to live, but he says God is able to make all grace abound towards you. What if the sowing that Paul is talking about. It's not just about a financial return on investment. It's not just about an investment with other people's souls coming into the kingdom of God. But what if God is asking us to free our hands so that we are positioned to receive the entirety of grace that he has available? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. A lot of people think there's a song. Let me put it to you this way. There's a song, and it's Count Your Blessings. Great song, fun song. But there's a line in it that says, mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And it kind of makes it sound like, you know, the blessings just come in a drip here and a drip over there. I want you to understand that when God opens the windows of heaven, he says, get ready, because it's more than you can contain. For 27 years, we have been improving Merit Assemblies of God's ability to drain off rainfall that comes, so that it doesn't flow into certain areas where we don't want it to flow into. Here's what I've discovered. In spite of increasing the capacity to drain water away from those places, more water just keeps coming. More water keeps coming. I want you to know, God's not even close to tapped out. His reservoir of blessing, of grace, it is beyond description. This chapter ends by saying this: thank God for his indescribable gift. If God did not withhold his son from you, and he didn't, he will not withhold any good thing, any blessing. God is looking for people who say, God, I trusted you with my forever. I can trust you with my now. I can give when you tell me to give, because I know this: you're going to be able to make all grace and all favor abound to me. And I say yes to God's provision. You have a great weekend. Hopefully we'll see you at church on Sunday. If not, back here Monday morning.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You can have my whole life. You can come and have it all. I don't want to go my own way now. I love to feel your presence, and I